Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Katie, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And today in studio, we have Tim Sheehan, the Senior Wealth Management Director of BNY Mellon. Welcome, Tim.
Welcome. Thank you.
Well, Tim, BNY Mellon Wealth Management, can you share a little bit about how you're serving folks?
We provide investment management for individuals, families, and institutions. I primarily focus on helping people with financial transitions.
And what does that mean, a financial transition?
Something happens in your life. You have a business, which we're going to be talking about a little bit more today, and you might have an unsolicited offer. You sell it. There might be a death in the family. There could be a restructuring the family through divorce. Anything that requires you to hit reset.
Reset may be, it could be good. It could be bad. It could be anything that, something you didn't plan for or something you did plan for.
Absolutely, Lee. And my job is to make sure it's good, regardless of the circumstances.
So how'd you get into this?
If I really go back in time, my mother died when I was 9 years old. 2 years later, my brother was killed in a car accident.
Wow.
So I grew up knowing that life turns on a dime. Mm-hmm. And I grew up seeing what happens to families, what happens to businesses. And in a way, it's become my life's passion to help people any way I can manage effectively through transition and radical change.
Now, how many people actually have help in this area, or do most people do this on their own?
We'll be talking about our survey study that we did with Vanderbilt University. The majority, almost half, try to go through this on their own. Life just happens. We're busy. We're busy raising families. We're busy running businesses. And sometimes we're reactive. My goal in life is to help people be proactive.
Now, you keep referring to the BNY Mellon Wealth Management Vanderbilt University Business Owner Transition Study. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about?
Exactly, Lee. We're a firm that custodies 20% of the globe's assets. And in my role in business development, I lead the country as far as the most new business brought in for the firm. And what that really means...
And this is a global firm, right?
Exactly. So what that means is we bring in a lot of new business right here to your listeners in the Georgia and the Southeastern market. And that means there's a lot of conversations, but we wanted to validate that. We had a lot of information to share over the years as we learned working specifically with business owners like your audience. But we wanted to validate it. So we went to a leading institution, Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and we hired them to do a business owner survey. And it was business owners both here in Georgia, largely Georgia, as well as Tennessee. We talked to over 500 business owners, your exact target market. That middle market, 5 million in sales, and some were over 100 million in annual sales. And we surveyed them, average age 61, to get a sense on how they were prepared for transition. What had they done in the transition process? Had they even thought about it? And the results were a huge wow.
Really was surprising to you, even though you're immersed in this?
It really was, Lee, because you think about somebody operating these businesses, really focused on large employee bases in some cases, focusing on income generation, but not really working on enterprise value and development and having life just happen to them.
So they're just kind of going with it every day. They're just kind of putting out the fires that are in front of them, and they're not really kind of forecasting or looking down the road?
Yeah, no, they just don't have a chance to. Business is really busy.
Right.
And your audience and your listeners know that. They're just trying to make payroll. They're trying to keep up. They're meeting the next big client. At the end of the day, when we did this survey, we thought we would get some results that would mirror what we were seeing nationally. But there'd be some outliers, and it almost mirrored identically what we're seeing nationally. I'll give you one statistic. 46% of the respondents had done no planning from an estate perspective whatsoever. And we recently hosted a panel here in Atlanta at a private club in Buckhead, and a gentleman who had sold his family business in the hundreds of millions validated that. And he said, we just didn't get to it.
And it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Exactly.
And they're just, so if something terrible had happened, then that would have opened up cans of worms that
exactly.
You can't even imagine, right?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Most businesses are forced sales. And that's kind of when I talk about my personal history with my family.
Right. Seeing that firsthand, how disruptive that things, when you don't plan the repercussions of that. So when these business owners aren't planning for the future, they don't have kind of some of the basic things in place. And do they just think, oh, I'm not never going to die. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. Even though around them, they must have peers that bad things are happening to them.
It is. It's true.
It's just this psychological denial about death and mortality.
I think so. And in my business, I don't like to focus on the negatives. I mean, I'm always resident what we call in the industry, the 5 D's that most transitions occur from. So if you think about 50% of the businesses out there, and again, I don't want to be negative, but the facts are the facts. Death is going to force a business sale. Disability of the owner could force a sale. Divorce, both partners feel like they've got an equal equity in it, and that's going to force some type of a business transition. Dispute, oftentimes we find, maybe your listeners have unresolved, ownership buy-sell agreements. That could force a sale. And then just a market disruption, what we saw in 2008, you just can't keep up.
Right. So now when you're working with clients, can you talk about how that relationship, how does that evolve? How do you meet them and how do you kind of build this trust and to help them through these kind of potentially turbulent times?
Sure. We try to get in early. So if your listeners have a business right now and they haven't done any planning, my first response to them is don't worry about it. We tend to feel bad about it. We feel that the other people have a much better handle on. Well, my study with Vanderbilt University shows that you don't have, you're not unusual.
Right. You're not alone here.
You're not alone.
It's not just you.
Everybody's in the same boat. So we like to have conversations early. We like to know who your team is. And if you don't have a team, we have the expertise and the relationships in the community.
Who should be on this team? Like, what's your dream team? Who would you put on it?
I'll just go down the list. First off, we have to have our CPA. Mm-hmm. CPA is probably the most important person. They need to be in there early and they need to be helping.
Don't be modest, Tim. We know you're the most important person.
It all depends. And I certainly have a seat there, but going through the list, that CPA is going to be really helping.
Are they the quarterback?
They can be. Mm-hmm. And most times they can be. And it really depends on how the relationship's formed, who that quarterback is. It could be a historical relationship, over many decades, or it could be a new relationship. If it's a new relationship, we might step up and help quarterback because we might be putting that team together. If
right.
you don't have, let's say, a CPA that is at the level that you probably need for a transition. The second most important person is the attorney. Mm-hmm. We like to make sure that attorney has a background in estate planning. We have our own estate planning attorneys on staff, but we don't prepare documents, so we do need to partner up with an estate planning attorney. We want a good investment banker on the team as well. Depending on what the size of the transaction is, that's going to be a very key individual that we're going to be working with. We also want to have an insurance advisor on the team. We want to make sure that that's been addressed from a planning perspective. And as you put that core group of people together.
And this is a business insurance, not like the person who sold you health insurance necessarily.
It's going to be business insurance. It's also, it could be key man insurance. Mm-hmm. It could also be estate planning insurance. When I think about insurance, we advise our clients to make sure that they have a relationship with a solid insurance partner for estate planning purposes, taxes. It could be wealth equalization. Think about the most common thing. Your listener might have a couple of kids. One's really involved in the business.
Right.
One isn't. The business is definitely going to maybe transition to the one that's been involved, but we still love that other child, right? How do we keep things? So insurance can be a way to handle that. At BNY Mellon, we take very much what I call a balance sheet centric approach. So we're looking at all aspects of it. And then the final person is going to be that wealth manager, that investment person. That's where we sit. And then with that is going to be our team, which is going to include a banking person, because we want to make sure you're using leverage properly, right? If I look at some of the respondents, 43% of the people that responded to our survey said that they were going to go back into another business or we're going to do board work. So it's not time to say goodbye to your banker just yet.
Right. And how important when you're having these initial conversations is legacy to these people?
It depends. I would say the majority of them have some type of legacy plan or idea in place. Because remember that the identity is tied up in the business, and now maybe the business is going to be going away. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we know what chapter three is, or act three, as we call it. And legacy planning, making sure that the children are prepared for the money. Think about it. 90% of our respondents' wealth is tied up in their business. 90%.
Right.
If you go through a business sale, now you have a liquid balance sheet for the first time. And what if something happens, right? I'm always thinking about taking risk off the table for our clients. Something happens to you, and now a boatload of money goes down to the next generation. Are they prepared? In our world, we call it getting your family prepared for the money. So that's your legacy planning. Do you want to just send money out to them outright? Do you want to do some estate planning? Do you want to do some philanthropy?
Right.
Do you want to...
But these are all new conversations that they probably never even occurred to them, right? Because they're too busy just putting out the fires of their normal business.
That's exactly right. And, you know, maybe one child's ready.
Right.
Maybe one child isn't. So maybe there's a chance to put some trusts in place.
Right. So now, it must be fun and rewarding to have these conversations, because once the, I would imagine the business owner, because they're so goal-oriented to begin with, you're telling them, hey, this is a new adventure. Here's new goals. How are we going to handle that? Then I would imagine once you've kind of opened their eyes, they get on board pretty quickly about this and embrace this and look, get excited about it.
Lee, yes and no. And you brought up a really good point, because keep in mind that, you know, when you're running a business, all your listeners can walk down the hall and they can impact business. They can tell somebody to do something,
right.
Do less, do more, stop doing that, and it impacts on the bottom line. They have that ultimate
control. It's the control, right.
Now they've gone to a liquid event.
So it's less control.
It's less control. And they are listening to CNBC,
right.
People like you.
Right.
They're in the media that's telling them up to the minute what right. is happening with the economy. So we have a very special plan that we put in place for our business owners that are transitioning to a liquid portfolio for the first time. And the response is we go slow.
Mm-hmm.
We might transition them in a short-term, intermediate to a longer-term cash management program so they get comfortable with the market. And we make sure that they understand exactly what we're doing. Everything's in writing. We don't like surprises. Neither do our clients.
Right. Transparency is important, right?
Absolutely. So it's something that this is a business of trust. And then once we have the trust built up, then we start moving into a risk-appropriate investment portfolio.
Based on a variety of factors, I would imagine. Their age and their family situation.
That's exactly right.
Now, when you're doing this kind of work, is you focus primarily family-owned businesses or just business owners in general? Do you have a sweet spot?
It's business owners in general, usually about $5 million in annual sales and above. And I would say that sweet spot for us is probably $5 million to, let's say, $500 million.
So it's the entrepreneur, the business owner, more so than a family business?
It can be both. A family business, we have serial entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. We've done shows on family business, and we find that they are a different animal than a traditional business that isn't family-owned, because like you mentioned before, you have the siblings, one of which is involved, one of them isn't. You know, then they're getting together in the holidays, and what are they talking about? Like, yeah, there's all this dynamic that comes into play that if you're not a family business, you don't have any of that.
That's exactly right. I'd say probably we skew to the majority are family businesses. Then the next would be sole proprietor businesses. But everybody's got a family. And one of the things that the survey uncovered that I think it was over a third of our business owner respondents had had no conversations with their family at all about a business transition. Nobody.
Really?
It's amazing.
That's fascinating.
It is amazing. And sometimes we're brought in to have those conversations and help lead those conversations. Everybody's busy, but we always say, well, what about the family? They ought to know, right?
Now, when you're at BNY Mellon meetings and the guy from Atlanta keeps winning, most new sales, what's that like?
Well, as we like to remind, we are a New York-based firm, and we always tell our colleagues, and they're all great, but not all dirt roads are in the South. We have plenty of business owners here. We're doing very, very well.
Now, we deal with a lot of startups, a lot of businesses that are trying to get the word out about their business, and they feel it's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder about Atlanta not getting respect nationally for all the great work that happens here and all of the great businesses that are started here and are working here. Do you find that as well, that a lot of the owners that you work with have kind of that, I don't want to say inferiority complex because it's not, it's, but it's like kind of like, why do they think that we're like these, you know, stereotype Southern, not smart people that are just going about our business when we're making things happen?
Well, it's just the nature of it. I just recently was in our New York office, and it's a great firm, but we are the fastest growing office for Bank of New York Mellon Wealth Management in Atlanta. So what that tells me is our business owners listening, our clients, we're doing a pretty good job here.
Right. I mean, Atlanta, when you look at it from a national standpoint, we're not a kind of one industry town. There's a lot of business happening in entertainment, right? Your film, you're probably seeing some of that. We have huge fintech, right? They're just last week was Cyber Week here, where all these cybersecurity experts were coming here because the bulk of the financial transactions happen here in Atlanta, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people here. In Georgia, we have the port, which is one of the most important ports in the country. You know, we have the healthcare IT stuff happening, you know, with McKesson and all the things that have spun off of that. There's businesses of all kinds happening here, and it's so diverse that even when the economy kind of shrinks a little bit, we still have enough diversity to kind of handle that.
Lee, you're exactly right, and we're seeing that from our perspective at BNY Mellon. We would not see the number of transactions and onboard the number of clients if everything you weren't saying was absolutely spot on. And at the end of the day, Georgia's a pretty great place to live, too.
Right. The cost of living compared to the rest of the country is, you're getting more bang for your buck here, for sure.
Absolutely. We're there to make the money last, and it lasts a whole lot longer in Georgia than it does in other markets.
Now, do you find that a lot of people are moving here at retirement or towards the second act of their career?
I'm finding a lot of people starting out here mm-hmm. and starting their businesses here. We're a wonderful distribution market. The airport continues to make opportunities for us, and it continues to be a hub for growth. And, you know, hopefully we'll hear some good news about Amazon.
Right. Yeah, we're definitely in the mix.
Could certainly make mm-hmm. things explode. And that just continues. Our demographics around our location will continue to be opportunistic for small to mid-sized businesses development.
Now, for BNY Mellon, they have you here in town serving the business owners. How do they immerse themselves in the community to kind of say, hey, we're an important part of the community here?
A number of different ways. It's conversations just like this. Our Business Owners Symposium that we mm-hmm. hosted on September 7th. Brought together 148 business owners and advisors in the community at a private club here. And we talked about the results and we went through them line item by line item. We immersed ourselves by bringing up four business owners right here in Georgia that had actually sold their family businesses, to your point. And they talked about their stories, what worked, what didn't work.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
That's right. And we also brought up their advisors. We're active in a number of different organizations just to make sure that business owners can start a dialogue, have a conversation, and at the end of the day, get back to what is really my true passion, that they have choices and that they're in control and they don't let those 50% of those, what I call the 5Ds, kind of run
sneak
what's going
to happen.
Sneak up
on them, right. Exactly. Where you're reactive instead of proactive. Can you walk us through kind of that initial conversation you have with a business owner who you just met and you're trying to persuade to be, you know, kind of trust you to be the trusted advisor, be part of that trusted advisor team that you mentioned earlier?
Well, and
I'm sure it's a lot of questions. You're asking some questions, right?
We're trying to find out what their objective is. Do mm-hmm. they have a transition plan in place? What are, you know, to your point earlier, what are their legacy goals? What do they hope to accomplish? Because remember, the planning happens now. Once you have an offer to sell your business, you've just run out of all your planning options. It's going to happen based on that. So we want to make sure who's on your team. Do you have a strong CPA, an attorney? Is an investment banker appropriate here? A good insurance advisor? Who are your core go-to people?
Now, of that group, what of the people you meet, do they have that whole team complete or is it they have one person of the team? Like, how? What do you typically find?
Lee, it can go from 0 to 5 in the sense that they have absolutely nobody, or they have a good group, but nobody's really coordinating the efforts.
So the coordinating of the efforts is, do you encourage them to, hey, let's all sit down together?
Absolutely.
Like in person?
Absolutely. We do
it in person. Absolutely.
Absolutely, and in person. I mean, really,
like once
important.
A year, a couple times a year?
Depends on what the timeline is, Lee. Are we looking at closing the business within the next, 6 months to 18 months? Then we're going to have face-to-face meetings. And you've got to keep in mind, in my role, I know most of the players in our region. So we already have business relationships together. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I've either, worked with them through a second colleague on our team. So we pretty much know the best people in the area and have had the opportunity to close deals with them, work on transactions. So there's already a relationship there.
Now, how important, when you're building the team, if a person doesn't have one of those players, how important is it for you to have access to kind of the best in class in these different areas?
Very importantly. In fact, sometimes they won't have it, or they'll feel, this is going to be a transaction. I want more horsepower, so to speak. So we'll make introductions and connections at the time.
So you're always building your network to make sure that you know who the best in class is, especially in these different niches. Like if somebody might be the best in class in manufacturing, but if this person is a IT company, they may need a different expert, right?
Absolutely. And through our resources, we're just working now with the international business owner and looking for some expertise abroad. So we're always, always building that network.
Now for you, when you're meeting these people, you want to meet them at least initially, early as possible, right? To just get on their radar, even if they're not even ready for a transition.
Absolutely. We certainly have people that call us and say, I'm closing a business next Thursday and we'd like to have a relationship
is that true?
With you. We do.
What is the shortest amount of time someone's given you?
I think 3 days.
3 days?
3 days.
What was that conversation?
Was, hey, we're selling the business and I need to
Monday?
Wire the money. We love those calls too. They're great. But at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot of planning and value.
Right, there's not much you can add to
on
that
the front end. Now, certainly we can add some value in structuring and doing some cash flows and helping them understand, how this money is going to grow and what their cash flows are going to look like.
But on Monday, I'm going to have a pile of money. What are you going to do with it?
Absolutely. Great. Here are your wine instructions. Congratulations.
Now, if you met a person early on, maybe they're not going to transition for 5 or 10 years, you still want to meet this person, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's still value you can provide to help them at least kind of maybe help slowly build the team, maybe help them with the growth of the company. Are you involved in that area as well? Is that part of your role?
Absolutely. We have events going on throughout the year, almost quarterly, focused around business owners, where we bring in advisors. We have one coming up at the end of this month. So if anybody's interested in that, and get information through you. But that's where we just start the dialogue. We start talking about business owners and then the correlation between the economy. Because keep in mind, we talked about one of those 5 Ds is market disruption.
Right.
And what happens to the economy, there are better times to sell your business than other times, obviously.
Right.
So I would say even if your runway is multiple years out, start educating yourself right now, start talking to people, start thinking about, building your dream team, come to some events, and they're fun and they're informative. And it's a great way to start mixing with other business owners and find out what's working and what's not.
Now, and you have those events set through your office quarterly?
Exactly.
And that's a BNY Mellon event?
It is. It can be in conjunction with some of our other partners, but it's primarily a BNY Mellon event.
And is there a website? Do you have a local website?
They can email me at timothy.sheehan@bnymellon.com.
Right. On the bnymellon.com website, they can drill down to your location.
They can just email me directly, and I can tell them based on where they are specifically on how to go to those events.
And then if they wanted more information about this study, is that on the website as well?
Or it's not
that,
on the website.
They're going to have lunch with you in order to get that.
You got to have a conversation with me.
The good stuff, right?
As I always like to say, my job is to make sure you know what the process is like, but my job is to make sure you like the process. It's a proprietary study. We did pay for it, but we've just asked that people have a conversation with us so we can kind of go through the specific details.
And then if you were to share kind of the top one or two takeaways from the study, what would they be?
I'd say that one of the things that surprised even me, because think about my role, Lee, when they get to me, they've probably sold the business that 3 days from now, exactly. Here are the wiring instructions. And that's great. And everybody feels good about it. And, you know, okay, so we didn't have the planning, but the number was big enough, right? The thing that surprised me the most about this process was that less than 20% of the businesses marketed actually get sold. And when you started going into that subset of that small number that actually sell, and keep in mind, you know, I'm dealing with all the people that are successful, that 75% of the people that actually sold actually had regrets. They felt that they either made concessions too broadly or that they left money on the table. So my goal and my mission, along with the advisors that I work with in the community, is to make sure that we broaden that statistic. Let's sell more businesses, and let's make sure that the businesses that we do sell, everybody's happy and don't have any regrets about them.
And you find by being proactive and then putting together this dream team, you'll have a better chance of that occurring.
A little bit of planning, few conversations in advance, making sure that you've got the resources around you and you have this team to give you advice, whether you're selling and your number is months or whether it's years away, will make a profound impact on, candidly, your bottom line and your account at BNY Mellon.
And then this, the difference can be millions of dollars, right? If it could be anything.
Absolutely.
Why you can't just kind of hope that this is going to work based on just your gut instinct, right? You need to build a team that give you as much information and as much ammunition so you have increasing your chances of success.
Yeah. Hope is not a strategy. Everybody always has a little bit of fear around it. What am I going to do? This is my identity. I always say, remind them, if we're not fearful, that's a muscle we need to be exercising. That makes us stronger and better. But this will have tremendous impact. I'm working on a transaction right now, and we're going to close at the beginning of 2018 with that business owner just because we can now have 15 months to invest the tax proceeds in a sub account in a longer term or cash management. That in one transaction we did a year ago was $2 million extra to that firm by just moving that transaction a week into the following year. So it's those types of things.
It's because you don't know what you don't know. And if you put your team of experts that are all best in class, you have a better chance of kind of things that are obvious to you may not be obvious to me.
That's right. Right? You're exactly right.
And then, so again, the sweet spot for you are business owners of $5 million or more in annual revenue is a typical business owner
correct.
For you. And then you're open for conversations for family-owned business, any type of business, right?
That's right. We look to be a resource, the community. If you own or operate a business, even if you're not even contemplating selling at this time,
it's worth a conversation.
Well, and make sure you connect with us because to this point, you don't even have to have a conversation. Start coming to some events, be involved
right.
with us in the community, and you'll pick up information that'll be valuable to your bottom line.
And then if you do come to the events or you go to the website, then you can learn more. There's a lot of free information. Just you can go and just explore a little bit. And you're going to learn something.
Even at www.bnymellonwealthmanagement.com, there's a whole section devoted to business owners.
Good stuff. Well, Tim Sheehan, thank you so much for being part of the show today. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Lee, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.